6. The sleeper service was having roughly similar thoughts. The combination of its own inward velocity and the outrushing wall of accession's annihilating boundary implied they would meet in 140 seconds. The accession's ferocious expansion had begun immediately after the sleeper service had swept its active sensors across the thing. It had all started happening then, as though it was reacting. The sleeper service looked up its signal sequence log, searching for messages from the craft nearer to the accession. The fate amenable to change and the MSV not invented here were the closest craft. They had reported nothing. They were both now unreachable, either swallowed up within the event horizon of the accession's expanding boundary, or, if it was reaching out specifically towards a sleeper service, stretching out a single limb rather than expanding omnidirectionally, obscured from the GSV's view by the sheer extent of that limb's leading edge. The sleeper signaled the GSV's what is the answer and why, and use psychology, both directly and via the grey area and the jaundiced outlook, asking them what they could see. Trying to contact them directly was probably pointless. The accession's boundary was moving so fast, it looked like it was going to eclipse any returning signal. But there was a decent chance the indirect route might provide a useful reply before it encountered that event horizon. It had to assume the expansion was not equidirectional. It still had its second front, the affront's war fleets, even if that was vastly less threatening than what it was faced with now. The sleeper instructed its own warcraft to flee, to do all they could to escape the oncoming blast front of the accession's inflation. If the distension was localized, some at least might escape. They'd anyway been launched towards the affront of fleet, not straight to the accession. The sleeper wondered, with a fleeting sourness, whether the bloating accession, or whatever was controlling it, was capable of appreciating this distinction. Whatever, it was done. The warcraft were on their own for the moment. Think, what had the accession done up until now? What could it possibly be doing? What was it for? Why did it do what it did? The GSV spent 2 entire seconds thinking. Back on the jaundiced outlook, that was long enough for the Avatar Amorphia to interrupt the jail and say, "Excuse me, I beg your pardon, the jail. Ah, there's been a development with the accession." Then the sleeper swung its engine fields about, flourishing them into an entirely new configuration and instituting a crash stop. The giant ship poured every available unit of power it possessed into an emergency braking maneuver, which threw up vast livid waves of disturbance in the energy grid, soaring a tsunami of powered-up energies that rose and rose within the hyperspatial realm, until they too threatened to tear into the skein itself and unleash those energies not witnessed in the galaxy for 500,000 years. An instant before the wavefront ripped into the fabric of real space, the ship switched from one level of hyperspace to the other, ploughing its traction fields into the ultraspace energy grid, and producing another vast tumbling swell of fricative power. The ship flickered between the two expanses of hyperspace, distributing the colossal forces at its command amidst each domain, hauling its velocity down at a rate barely allowed for in its design parameters, while equally strained steering units edged their own performance envelopes in the attempt to turn the giant craft, angling it slowly even further away from the center. For a moment, there was little enough to do. They were not sufficient to escape, but at least such actions made the point that it was trying to. All that could be done was being done. the sleeper's service contemplated its life. Have I done good or bad, it thought, well or ill? The damnable thing was that you just didn't know, until your life was over, well over. There was a necessary delay between drawing a line under one's existence and being able to objectively evaluate its effects, and therefore one's own moral worth. It wasn't a problem a ship was usually confronted with. Faced with, yes, that implied a degree of volition, and ships went into retreats or became eccentric all the time, declaring that they'd done their bit for whatever cause they'd believed in or been part of. It was always possible to withdraw, to take stock and look back, and try to fit one's existence into an ethical framework greater than that necessarily imposed by the immediacy of events surrounding a busy existence. But even then, how long did one have to make that evaluation? Not long. Probably not long enough. Usually one grew tired of the whole process, or moved on to some other level of awareness before sufficient time had passed for that objective evaluation to come about. If a ship lived for a few hundred or even a thousand years before becoming something quite different, an eccentric, a sublimed, whatever, and its civilization, the thing of which it had been a part when it had been involved, then lived for a few thousand years. How long did it take before you really knew the full moral context of your actions? Perhaps an impossibly long time. Perhaps, indeed, that was a real attraction of subliming, real subliming. The sort of strategic, civilization-wide transcendence that genuinely did seem to draw a line under a society's works, deeds, and thoughts, in what it pleased people to call the real universe, at any rate. Maybe it wasn't anything remotely to do with religion, mysticism, or meta-philosophy after all. Maybe it was more banal. Maybe it was just accounting. What a rather saddening thought, thought the sleeper service. All we're looking for when we sublime is our score. It was getting near time, the ship thought sadly, to send off its mind state, to parcel up its mortal thoughts and emotions and post them off. Away from this, by the look of it, soon-to-be-overwhelmed physicality called the sleeper service, once called a long time ago the quietly confident, and consign it to the remembrance of its peers. It would probably never live again in reality, assuming there was what it knew as reality to come back to at all, of course, for it was starting to think. What if the accession's expansion was equidirectional and never stopped? What if it was a sort of new Big Bang? What if it was destined to take in the whole galaxy, the whole of this universe? But even so, even if there was a reality and a culture to come back to, there was no guarantee it would ever be resurrected. If anything, the likelihood was the other way. It was almost certainly guaranteed not to be regarded as a fit entity for rebirth in another physical matrix. Warships were. That guarantee of serial immortality was a seal upon their bravery, and had occasionally been the impetus for their foolhardiness. They knew they were coming back. But it had been an eccentric. And there were only a few other minds who knew that it had been true and faithful to the greater aims and purposes of the culture all the time, rather than what everybody else no doubt thought it was, a self-indulgent fool, determined to waste the huge resources it had been quite deliberately blessed with. Probably, come to think of it, those minds who did know the extent of its secret purpose would be the last to rally to any call to resurrect it. Their own part in the plan, call it conspiracy if you wished, to conceal its true purpose, was probably not something they wished to broadcast. Better for them, they would think, that the sleeper service died, or at least that it existed only in a controllable simulationary state in another mind matrix. The giant ship watched the accession still billowing out towards it. For all its prodigious power, the sleeper now felt as helpless as the driver of an ancient covered wagon caught on a road beneath a volcano, watching the incandescent cloud of a Nuit Ardente tearing down the mountainside towards it. The replies from the what is the answer and why, and the use psychology via the grey area and the jaundiced outlook, ought to be coming in soon, if they came at all. It signalled the avatar aboard the jaundiced outlook to consign the human's mind states to the AI course, if the ship would agree. There would be a fine test of loyalty. Let them work out their stories there if they could. The transition would anyway prepare the humans for the transmission of their mind states if and when the accession's destructive boundary caught up with the jaundiced outlook. That was the only succor they could be offered. What else? It sifted through the things it still had left to do. Little of real import, it reckoned. There were thousands of studies on its own behaviour it had always meant to glance at, a million messages it had never looked into, a billion life stories it had never seen through to the end, a trillion thoughts it had never followed up. The ship kicked through the debris of its life, watching the towering wall of the accession come ever closer. It scanned the articles, features, studies, biographies, and stories which had been written about itself, and which it had collected. There were hardly any screen works, and those which did exist needn't have. Nobody had ever succeeded in smuggling a camera aboard it. It supposed it ought to feel proud of that, but it didn't. The lack of any real visual interest hadn't put people off. They'd found the ship and the articulation of its eccentricity quite entirely fascinating. A few commentators had even come close to the reality of the situation, putting forward the idea that the sleeper service was part of special circumstances and somehow up to something. But any such inklings were like a few scattered grains of truth dissolved in an ocean of nonsense, and were anyway generally inextricably bound up with patently paranoid ravings, which served only to devalue the small amounts of sense and pertinence with which they were associated. Next, the sleeper service picked through the immense stack of unanswered messages it had accumulated over the decades. Here were all the signals it had glanced at and found irrelevant. Others it had completely ignored, because they issued from craft it disliked, and a whole subset of those it had chosen to disregard in the weeks since it had set course for the accession. The stored signals were by turns banal and ridiculous, ships trying to reason with it, people wanting to be allowed aboard without being stored first. News services or private individuals wanting to interview it, talk to it. Untold wastages of senseless drivel. It stopped even glancing at the signals, and instead just scanned the first line of each. Towards the end of the process, one message popped up from the rest, flagged as interesting by a name-recognizing subroutine. That single signal was followed by and linked to a whole series, all from the same ship, the limited systems vehicle, Sirius Callers Only. "Regarding Gravius," was the first line. The sleeper service's interest was piqued. So was this the entity the treacherous bird had been reporting back to? It opened a fat import file from the LSV, full of signal exchanges, file assignments, annotated thoughts, contextualizations, definitions, posited meanings, inferences, internalized conversations, source warranties, recordings and references. And discovered a conspiracy. It read the exchanges between the serious callers only, the anticipation of a new lover's arrival, and the shoot them later. It watched, and it listened. It experienced 100 pieces of evidence. It was briefly, amongst many other things, the ancient drone at the side of an old man called Tishlin, looking out over an island floating in a night-dark sea. And it understood. It put one and one together, and came up with two. It reasoned, it extrapolated, it concluded. The ship turned its attention back out to the accession's implacable advance, thinking, "So, now I find out, now, when it's too damned late." The sleeper looked back to its child, the jaundiced outlook, still curving away from its earlier course. The avatar was preparing the humans for the entry into simulation mode.